Truth. The explanation of the name of truth, namely that it is the agreement of knowledge with its object, will here be granted and presupposed. If truth consists in the agreement of knowledge with its object, then this object must thus be distinguished from others, for knowledge is false if it does not agree with the object to which it is related, even if it should contain something which might well be valid for other objects. And in the introduction to the Transcendental Dialectic, Kant states, "Truth and illusion are not in the object so far as it is intuited, but in the judgment about it so far as it is thought." Of course, this characterization of truth as agreement, adequatio, likeness, is very general and empty. Yet it will still have some justification if it can hold its own without prejudice to any of the most various interpretations which that distinctive predicate knowledge will support. We are now inquiring into the foundations of this relation. What else is tacitly posited in this relational totality of the adequatio intellectus et rei, likeness of intellect and thing? And what ontological character does that which is thus posited have itself? What in general does one have in view when one uses the term agreement? The agreement of something with something has the formal character of a relation of something to something. Every agreement, and therefore truth as well, is a relation. But not every relation is an agreement. A sign points at what is indicated. Such indicating is a relation, but not an agreement of the sign with what is indicated. Yet manifestly not every agreement is a convenientia of the kind that is fixed upon in the definition of truth. The number 6 agrees with 16 minus 10. These numbers agree. They are equal with regard to the question of how much. Equality is one way of agreeing. Its structure is such that something like a with regard to belongs to it. In the adequatio, something gets related. What is that with regard to which it agrees? In clarifying the truth relation, we must notice also what is peculiar to the terms of this relation. With regard to what do intellectus and res, intellect and thing, agree? In their kind of being and their essential content, do they give us anything at all with regard to which they can agree? If it is impossible for intellectus and res to be equal because they are not of the same species, are they then perhaps similar? But knowledge is still supposed to give the thing just as it is. This agreement has the relational character of the just as, so wie. In what way is this relation possible as a relation between intellectus and res? From these questions, it becomes plain that to clarify the structure of truth, it is not enough simply to presuppose this relational totality, but we must go back and inquire into the context of being which provides the support for this totality as such. Must we, however, bring up here the epistemological problematic as regards the subject-object relation, or can our analysis restrict itself to interpreting the immanent consciousness of truth, and thus remain within the sphere of the subject? According to the general opinion, what is true is knowledge, but knowledge is judging. In judgment, one must distinguish between the judging as a real psychical process and that which is judged as an ideal content. It will be said of the latter that it is true. The real psychical process, however, is either present at hand or not. According to this opinion, the ideal content of judgment stands in a relationship of agreement. This relationship thus pertains to a connection between an ideal content of judgment and the real thing, as that which is judged about. Is this agreement real or ideal in its kind of being, or neither of these? How are we to take ontologically the relation between an ideal entity and something that is real and present at hand? Such a relation indeed subsists, besteht. And in factical judgments, it subsists not only as a relation between the content of judgment and the real object, but likewise as the relation between the ideal content and the real act of judgment. And does it manifestly subsist more inwardly in this latter case? Or is the ontological meaning of the relation between real and ideal methexis, participation, something about which we must not inquire? Yet the relation is to be one which subsists. What does such subsisting, Bestand, mean ontologically? Why should this not be a legitimate question? Is it accidental that no headway has been made with this problem in over 2,000 years? Has the question already been perverted in the very way it has been approached in the ontologically unclarified separation of the real and the ideal? And with regard to the actual judging of what is judged, is the separation of the real act of judgment from the ideal content altogether unjustified? Does not the actuality of knowing and judging get broken asunder into two ways of being, two levels which can never be pieced together, in such a manner as to reach the kind of being that belongs to knowing? Is not psychologism correct in holding out against this separation, even if it neither clarifies ontologically the kind of being which belongs to the thinking of that which is thought, nor is even so much as acquainted with it as a problem? If we go back to the distinction between the act of judgment and its content, we shall not advance our discussion of the question of the kind of being which belongs to the adequatio. We shall only make plain the indispensability of clarifying the kind of being which belongs to knowledge itself. In the analysis which this necessitates, we must at the same time try to bring into view a phenomenon which is characteristic of knowledge, the phenomenon of truth. When does truth become phenomenally explicit in knowledge itself? It does so when such knowing demonstrates itself as true. By demonstrating itself, it is assured of its truth. Thus, in the phenomenal context of demonstration, the relationship of agreement must become visible. Let us suppose that someone with his back turned to the wall makes the true assertion that the picture on the wall is hanging askew. This assertion demonstrates itself when the man who makes it turns around and perceives the picture hanging askew on the wall. What gets demonstrated in this demonstration? What is the meaning of confirming, bewährung, such an assertion? Do we, let us say, ascertain some agreement between our knowledge, or what is known, and the thing on the wall? Yes and no, depending on whether our interpretation of the expression what is known is phenomenally appropriate. If he who makes the assertion judges without perceiving the picture, but merely represents it to himself, to what is he related? To representations, shall we say? Certainly not, if representation is here supposed to signify representing as a psychical process. Nor is he related to representations in the sense of what is thus represented, if what we have in mind here is a picture of that real thing which is on the wall. The asserting which merely represents is related rather in that sense which is most its own to the real picture on the wall. What one has in mind is the real picture and nothing else. Any interpretation in which something else is here slipped in as what one supposedly has in mind in an assertion that merely represents belies the phenomenal facts of the case as to that about which the assertion gets made. Asserting is a way of being towards the thing itself that is. And what does one's perceiving of it demonstrate? Nothing else than that this thing is the very entity which one has in mind in one's assertion. What comes up for confirmation is that this entity is pointed out by the being in which the assertion is made, which is being towards what is put forward in the assertion. Thus, what is to be confirmed is that such being uncovers the entity towards which it is. What gets demonstrated is the being uncovering of the assertion. In carrying out such a demonstration, the knowing remains related solely to the entity itself. In this entity, the confirmation, as it were, gets enacted. The entity itself, which one has in mind, shows itself just as it is in itself. That is to say, it shows that it, in its self-sameness, is just as it gets pointed out in the assertion as being, just as it gets uncovered as being. Representations do not get compared, either among themselves or in relation to the real thing. What is to be demonstrated is not an agreement of knowing with its object, still less of the psychical with the physical, but neither is it an agreement between contents of consciousness among themselves. What is to be demonstrated is solely the being uncovered, entdeckt sein, of the entity itself, that entity and the how of its uncoveredness. This uncoveredness is confirmed when that which is put forward in the assertion, namely the entity itself, shows itself as that very same thing. Confirmation signifies the entity's showing itself in its self-sameness. The confirmation is accomplished on the basis of the entity's showing itself. This is possible only in such a way that the knowing, which asserts and which gets confirmed, is, in its ontological meaning, itself a being towards real entities, and a being that uncovers. To say that an assertion is true signifies that it uncovers the entity as it is in itself. Such an assertion points out, lets the entity be seen in its uncoveredness. The being true, truth of the assertion must be understood as being uncovering. Thus truth has by no means the structure of an agreement between knowing and the object, in the sense of a likening of one entity, the subject, to another, the object. Being true as being uncovering is in turn ontologically possible only on the basis of being in the world. This latter phenomenon, which we have known as a basic state of Dasein, is the foundation for the primordial phenomenon of truth. We shall now follow this up more penetratingly. B. The primordial phenomenon of truth and the derivative character of the traditional conception of truth. Being true, truth means being uncovering. But is not this a highly arbitrary way to define truth? By such drastic ways of defining this concept, we may succeed in eliminating the idea of agreement from the conception of truth. Must we not pay for this dubious gain by plunging the good old tradition into nullity? But while our definition is seemingly arbitrary, it contains only the necessary interpretation of what was primordially surmised in the oldest tradition of ancient philosophy and even understood in a pre-phenomenological manner. If a logos as apophansis, discourse as making clear, is to be true, being true is alethuane, speaking the truth in the manner of apophanesthai, of taking entities out of their hiddenness and letting them be seen in their unhiddenness, their uncoveredness. The aletheia, truth, which Aristotle equates with pragma, and phenomena, thing and phenomena, in the passages cited above, signifies the things themselves. It signifies what shows itself, entities in the how of their uncoveredness. And is it accidental that in one of the fragments of Heraclitus, the oldest fragments of philosophical doctrine in which the logos is explicitly handled, the phenomenon of truth in the sense of uncoveredness, unhiddenness, as we have set it forth, shows through? Those who are lacking in understanding are contrasted with the logos, and also with him who speaks that logos and understands it. The logos is phrazon hopos echei, telling how it is. It tells how entities comport themselves. But to those who are lacking in understanding, what they do remains hidden. They forget it. That is, for them it sinks back into hiddenness. Thus to the logos belongs unhiddenness. To translate this word as truth, and above all to define this expression conceptually in theoretical ways, is to cover up the meaning of what the Greeks made self-evidently basic for the terminological use of aletheia, truth as a pre-philosophical way of understanding it. In citing such evidence, we must avoid uninhibited word mysticism. Nevertheless, the ultimate business of philosophy is to preserve the force of the most elemental words in which Dasein expresses itself, and to keep the common understanding from leveling them off to that unintelligibility which functions in turn as a source of pseudo-problems. We have now given a phenomenal demonstration of what we set forth earlier as to logos and aletheia, truth, in, so to speak, a dogmatic interpretation. In proposing our definition of truth, we have not shaken off the tradition, but we have appropriated it primordially. And we shall have done so all the more if we succeed in demonstrating that the idea of agreement is one to which theory had to come, on the basis of the primordial phenomenon of truth, and if we can show how this came about. Moreover, the definition of truth as uncoveredness and as being uncovering is not a mere explanation of a word. Among those ways in which Dasein comports itself, there are some which we are accustomed, in the first instance, to call true. From the analysis of these, our definition emerges. Being true as being uncovering is a way of being for Dasein. What makes this very uncovering possible must necessarily be called true in a still more primordial sense. The most primordial phenomenon of truth is first shown by the existential ontological foundations of uncovering. Uncovering is a way of being for being in the world. Circumspective concern, or even that concern in which we tarry and look at something, uncovers entities within the world. These entities become that which has been uncovered. They are true in a second sense. What is primarily true, that is, uncovering, is Dasein. Truth, in the second sense, does not mean being uncovering, but being uncovered, uncoveredness. Our earlier analysis of the worldhood of the world and of entities within the world has shown, however, that the uncoveredness of entities within the world is grounded in the world's disclosedness. But disclosedness is that basic character of Dasein, according to which it is, it's there. Disclosedness is constituted by state of mind, understanding, and discourse, and pertains equiprimordially to the world, to being in, and to the self. In its very structure, care is ahead of itself, being already in a world, as being alongside entities within the world. And in this structure, the disclosedness of Dasein lies hidden, with and through its uncoveredness. Hence only with Dasein's disclosedness is the most primordial phenomenon of truth attained. What we have pointed out earlier with regard to the existential constitution of the there, and in relation to the everyday being of the there, pertains to the most primordial phenomenon of truth, nothing less. Insofar as Dasein is its disclosedness essentially, and discloses and uncovers as something disclosed, to this extent it is essentially true. Dasein is in the truth. This assertion has meaning ontologically. It does not purport to say that ontically Dasein is introduced to all the truth, either always or just in every case, but rather that the disclosedness of its ownmost being belongs to its existential constitution. If we accept the results we have obtained earlier, the full existential meaning of the principle that Dasein is in the truth can be restored by the following considerations. 1. To Dasein's state of being, disclosedness in general essentially belongs. It embraces the whole of that structure of being which has become explicit through the phenomenon of care. To care belongs not only being in the world, but also being alongside entities within the world. The uncoveredness of such entities is equiprimordial with the being of Dasein and its disclosedness. 2. To Dasein's state of being belongs thrownness. Indeed, it is constitutive for Dasein's disclosedness. In thrownness is revealed that in each case Dasein, as my Dasein and this Dasein, is already in a definite world and alongside a definite range of definite entities within the world. Disclosedness is essentially factical. 3. To Dasein's state of being belongs projection, disclosive being towards its potentiality for being. As something that understands, Dasein can understand itself in terms of the world and others, or in terms of its ownmost potentiality for being. The possibility just mentioned means that Dasein discloses itself to itself in and as its ownmost potentiality for being. This authentic disclosedness shows the phenomenon of the most primordial truth in the mode of authenticity. The most primordial and indeed the most authentic disclosedness in which Dasein as a potentiality for being can be is the truth of existence. This becomes existentially and ontologically definite only in connection with the analysis of Dasein's authenticity. 4. To Dasein's state of being belongs falling. Proximally and for the most part, Dasein is lost in its world. Its understanding, as a projection upon possibilities of being, has diverted itself thither. Its absorption in the they signifies that it is dominated by the way things are publicly interpreted. That which has been uncovered and disclosed stands in a mode in which it has been disguised and closed off by idle talk, curiosity, and ambiguity. Being towards entities has not been extinguished, but it has been uprooted. Entities have not been completely hidden. They are precisely the sort of thing that has been uncovered, but at the same time they have been disguised. They show themselves but in the mode of semblance. Likewise, what has formerly been uncovered sinks back again, hidden and disguised. Because Dasein is essentially falling, its state of being is such that it is in untruth. This term, like the expression falling, is here used ontologically. If we are to use it in existential analysis, we must avoid giving it any ontically negative evaluation. To be closed off and covered up belongs to Dasein's facticity. In its full existential ontological meaning, the proposition that Dasein is in the truth states equiprimordially that Dasein is in untruth. But only insofar as Dasein has been disclosed has it also been closed off. And only insofar as entities within the world have been uncovered along with Dasein have such entities, as possibly encounterable within the world, been covered up, hidden, or disguised. It is therefore essential that Dasein should explicitly appropriate what has already been uncovered, defend it against semblance and disguise, and assure itself of its uncoveredness again and again. The uncovering of anything new is never done on the basis of having something completely hidden, but takes its departure rather from uncoveredness in the mode of semblance. Entities look as if, that is, they have in a certain way been uncovered already, and yet they are still disguised. Truth, uncoveredness, is something that must always first be wrested from entities. Entities get snatched out of their hiddenness. The factical uncoveredness of anything is always, as it were, a kind of robbery. Is it accidental that when the Greeks express themselves as to the essence of truth, they use a privative expression, aletheia, unhiddenness? When Dasein so expresses itself, does not a primordial understanding of its own being thus make itself known? The understanding, even if it is only pre-ontological, that being in untruth makes up an essential characteristic of being in the world. The goddess of truth who guides Parmenides puts two pathways before him, one of uncovering, one of hiding. But this signifies nothing else than that Dasein is already both in the truth and in untruth. The way of uncovering is achieved only in krinein logo, in distinguishing between these understandingly, and making one's decision for the one rather than the other. The existential, ontological condition for the fact that being in the world is characterized by truth and untruth lies in that state of Dasein's being which we have designated as throne projection. This is something that is constitutive for the structure of care. The upshot of our existential, ontological interpretation of the phenomenon of truth is, 1. The truth, in the most primordial sense, is Dasein's disclosedness, to which the uncoveredness of entities within the world belongs, and 2. That Dasein is equiprimordially both in the truth and in untruth. Within the horizon of the traditional interpretation of the phenomenon of truth, our insight into these principles will not be complete until it can be shown, 1. That truth, understood as agreement, originates from disclosedness by way of definite modification, 2. That the kind of being which belongs to disclosedness itself is such that its derivative modification first comes into view and leads the way for the theoretical explication of the structure of truth. Assertion and its structure, namely the apophantical as, are founded upon interpretation and its structure, namely the hermeneutical as, and also upon understanding, upon Daseins disclosedness. Truth, however, is regarded as a distinctive character of assertion as so derived. Thus the roots of the truth of assertion reach back to the disclosedness of the understanding. But over and above these indications of how the truth of assertion has originated, the phenomenon of agreement must not be exhibited explicitly in its derivative character. Our being alongside entities within the world is concern, and this is being which uncovers. To Dasein's disclosedness, however, discourse belongs essentially. Dasein expresses itself, spricht sich aus. It expresses itself as a being towards entities, a being towards which uncovers. And in assertion, it expresses itself as such about entities which have been uncovered. Assertion communicates entities in the how of their uncoveredness. When Dasein is aware of the communication, it brings itself in its awareness into an uncovering, being towards the entities discussed. The assertion which is expressed is about something, and, in what it is about, in ihrem Vorüber, it contains the uncoveredness of these entities. This uncoveredness is preserved in what is expressed. What is expressed becomes, as it were, something ready to hand within the world, which can be taken up and spoken again. Because the uncoveredness has been preserved, that which is expressed, which thus is ready to hand, has in itself a relation to any entities about which it is an assertion. Any uncoveredness is an uncoveredness of something. Even when Dasein speaks over again what someone else has said, it comes into a being towards the very entities which have been discussed. But it has been exempted from having to uncover them again, primordially, and it holds that it has been thus exempted. Dasein need not bring itself face to face with entities themselves in an original experience, but it nevertheless remains in a being towards these entities. In a large measure, uncoveredness gets appropriated not by one's own uncovering, but rather by hearsay of something that has been said. Absorption in something that has been said belongs to the kind of being which the they possess. That which has been expressed as such takes over being towards those entities which have been uncovered in the assertion. If, however, these entities are to be appropriated explicitly with regard to their uncoveredness, this amounts to saying that the assertion is to be demonstrated as one that uncovers. But the assertion expressed is something ready to hand, and indeed in such a way that, as something by which uncoveredness is preserved, it has in itself a relation to the entities uncovered. Now to demonstrate that it is something which uncovers, ihres Entdeckendseins, means to demonstrate how the assertion by which the uncoveredness is preserved is related to those entities. The assertion is something ready to hand. The entities to which it is related as something that uncovers are either ready to hand or present at hand within the world. The relation itself presents itself thus as one that is present at hand. But this relation lies in the fact that the uncoveredness preserved in the assertion is in each case an uncoveredness of something. The judgment contains something which holds for the objects, Kant. But the relation itself now acquires the character of presence at hand by getting switched over to a relationship between things which are present at hand. But the relation itself now acquires the character of presence at hand by getting switched over to a relationship between things which are present at hand. The uncoveredness of something becomes the present at hand conformity of one thing which is present at hand, the assertion expressed, to something else which is present at hand, the entity under discussion. And if this conformity is seen only as a relationship between things which are present at hand, that is, if the kind of being which belongs to the terms of this relationship has not been discriminated, and is understood as something merely present at hand, then the relation shows itself as an agreement of two things which are present at hand, an agreement which is present at hand itself. When the assertion has been expressed, the uncoveredness of the entity moves into the kind of being of that which is ready to hand within the world. But now to the extent that in this uncoveredness, as an uncoveredness of something, a relationship to something present at hand persists, the uncoveredness truth becomes, for its part, a relationship between things which are present at hand, intellectus and res, a relationship that is present at hand itself. Though it is founded upon Dasein's disclosedness, the existential phenomenon of uncoveredness becomes a property which is present at hand, but in which there still lurks a relational character. And as such a property, it gets broken asunder into a relationship which is present at hand. Truth as disclosedness and as a being towards uncovered entities, a being which itself uncovers, has become truth as agreement between things which are present at hand within the world. And thus we have pointed out the ontologically derivative character of the traditional conception of truth. Yet that which is last in the order of the way things are connected in their foundations existentially and ontologically is regarded ontically and factically as that which is first and closest to us. The necessity of this fact, however, is based in turn upon the kind of being which Dasein itself possesses. Dasein, in its concernful absorption, understands itself in terms of what it encounters within the world. The uncoveredness which belongs to uncovering is something that we come across proximally within the world in that which has been expressed, im Ausgesprochenen. Not only truth, however, is encountered as present at hand. In general, our understanding of being is such that every entity is understood, in the first instance, as present at hand. If the truth which we encounter proximally in an ontical manner is considered ontologically in the way that is closest to us, then the logos, the assertion, gets understood as logos tinos, as an assertion about something, an uncoveredness of something. But the phenomenon gets interpreted as something present at hand with regard to its possible presence at hand. Yet because presence at hand has been equated with the meaning of being in general, the question of whether this kind of being, of truth, is a primordial one, and whether there is anything primordial in that structure of it which we encounter as closest to us, cannot come alive at all. The primordial phenomenon of truth has been covered up by Dasein's very understanding of being, that understanding which is proximally the one that prevails, and which even today has not been surmounted explicitly and in principle. At the same time, however, we must not overlook the fact that while this way of understanding being, the way which is closest to us, is one which the Greeks were the first to develop as a branch of knowledge and to master, the primordial understanding of truth was simultaneously alive among them, even if pre-ontologically, and it even held its own against the concealment implicit in their ontology, at least in Aristotle. Aristotle never defends the thesis that the primordial locus of truth is in the judgment. He says rather that the logos is that way of being in which Dasein can either uncover or cover up. This double possibility is what is distinctive in the being true of the logos. The logos is that way of comporting oneself which can also cover things up. And because Aristotle never upheld the thesis we have mentioned, he was also never in a situation to broaden the conception of truth in the logos to include pure noesis. The truth of aisthesis, perception, and of the seeing of ideas is the primordial kind of uncovering, and only because noesis, thought, primarily uncovers, can the logos as dianoein, discourse as thinking, also have uncovering as its function. Not only is it wrong to invoke Aristotle for the thesis that the genuine locus of truth lies in the judgment, even in its content this thesis fails to recognize the structure of truth. Assertion is not the primary locus of truth. On the contrary, whether as a mode in which uncoveredness is appropriated or as a way of being in the world, assertion is grounded in Dasein's uncovering, or rather in its disclosedness. The most primordial truth is the locus of assertion. It is the ontological condition for the possibility that assertions can be either true or false, that they may uncover or cover things up. Truth, understood in the most primordial sense, belongs to the basic constitution of Dasein. The term signifies an existentiale, existential thing, but herewith we have already sketched out our answers to the question, of what kind of being truth possesses, and to the question of in what sense it is necessary to presuppose that there is truth. C. The kind of being which truth possesses and the presupposition of truth. Dasein, as constituted by discloseness, is essentially in the truth. Discloseness is a kind of being which is essential to Dasein. There is truth only in so far as Dasein is and so long as Dasein is. Entities are uncovered only when Dasein is and only as long as Dasein is. Are they disclosed? Newton's laws, the principle of contradiction, any truth whatever, these are true only as long as Dasein is. Before there was any Dasein, there was no truth, nor will there be any after Dasein is no more. For in such a case, truth as disclosedness, uncovering and uncoveredness, cannot be. Before Newton's laws were discovered, they were not true. It does not follow that they were false, or even that they would become false, if ontically no discoveredness were any longer possible. Just as little does this restriction imply that the being true of truths has in any way been diminished. To say that before Newton his laws were neither true nor false cannot signify that before him there were no such entities as have been uncovered and pointed out by those laws. Through Newton the laws became true, and with them entities became accessible in themselves to Dasein. Once entities have been uncovered, they show themselves precisely as entities which beforehand already were. Such uncovering is the kind of being which belongs to truth. That there are eternal truths will not be adequately proved until someone has succeeded in demonstrating that Dasein has been and will be for all eternity. As long as such a proof is still outstanding, this principle remains a fanciful contention, which does not gain in legitimacy from having philosophers commonly believe it. Because the kind of being that is essential to truth is of the character of Dasein, all truth is relative to Dasein's being. Does this relativity signify that all truth is subjective? If one interprets subjective as left to the subject's discretion, then it certainly does not. For uncovering in the sense which is most its own takes asserting out of the province of subjective discretion and brings the uncovering Dasein face to face with the entities themselves. And only because truth, as uncovering, is a kind of being which belongs to Dasein, can it be taken out of the province of Dasein's discretion. Even the universal validity of truth is rooted solely in the fact that Dasein can uncover entities in themselves and free them. Only so can these entities in themselves be binding for every possible assertion, that is, for every way of pointing them out. If truth has been correctly understood, is it in the least impaired by the fact that it is ontically possible only in the subject, and that it stands and falls with the being of that subject? Now that we have an existential conception of the kind of being that belongs to truth, the meaning of presupposing the truth also becomes intelligible. Why must we presuppose that there is truth? What is presupposing? What do we have in mind with the must and the we? What does it mean to say there is truth? We presuppose truth because we, being in the kind of being which Dasein possesses, are in the truth. We do not presuppose it as something outside us and above us, towards which, along with other values, we comport ourselves. It is not we who presuppose truth, but it is truth that makes it at all possible ontologically for us to be able to be such that we presuppose anything at all. Truth is what first makes possible anything like presupposing. What does it mean to presuppose? It is to understand something as the ground for the being of some other entity. Such understanding of an entity and its interconnections of being is possible only on the ground of disclosedness, that is, on the ground of Dasein's being something which uncovers. Thus, to presuppose truth means to understand it as something for the sake of which Dasein is. But Dasein is already ahead of itself in each case. This is implied in its state of being as care. It is an entity for which, in its being, its own most potentiality for being, is an issue. To Dasein's being and its potentiality for being as being in the world, disclosedness and uncovering belong essentially. To Dasein, its potentiality for being in the world is an issue, and this includes concerning itself with entities within the world and uncovering them circumspectively. In Dasein's state of being as care, in being ahead of itself, lies the most primordial presupposing. Because this presupposing of itself belongs to Dasein's being, we must also presuppose ourselves as having the attribute of disclosedness. There are also entities with a character other than that of Dasein, but the presupposing which lies in Dasein's being does not relate itself to these. It relates itself solely to Dasein itself. The truth which has been presupposed, or the there is, by which its being is to be defined, has that kind of being, or meaning of being, which belongs to Dasein itself. We must make the presupposition of truth because it is one that has been made already with the being of the we. We must presuppose truth. Dasein itself, as in each case, my Dasein and this Dasein, must be. And in the same way, the truth, as Dasein's disclosedness, must be. This belongs to Dasein's essential thrownness into the world. Has Dasein as itself ever decided freely whether it wants to come into Dasein or not? And will it ever be able to make such a decision? In itself, it is quite incomprehensible why entities are to be uncovered, why truth and Dasein must be. The usual refutation of that skepticism which denies either the being of truth or its cognizability stops halfway. What it shows as a formal argument is simply that if anything gets judged, truth has been presupposed. This suggests that truth belongs to assertion, that pointing something out is, by its very meaning, an uncovering. But when one says this, one has to clarify why, that in which there lies the ontological ground for this necessary connection between assertion and truth as regards their being, must be as it is. The kind of being which belongs to truth is likewise left completely obscure, and so is the meaning of presupposing, and that of its ontological foundation in Dasein itself. Moreover, one here fails to recognize that even when nobody judges, truth already gets presupposed insofar as Dasein is at all. A skeptic can no more be refuted than the being of truth can be proved. And if any skeptic of the kind who denies the truth factically is, he does not even need to be refuted. Insofar as he is, and has understood himself in this being, he has obliterated Dasein in the desperation of suicide. And in doing so, he has also obliterated truth. Because Dasein, for its own part, cannot first be subjected to proof, the necessity of truth cannot be proved either. It has no more been demonstrated that there ever has been an actual skeptic, though this is what has, at bottom, been believed in the refutations of skepticism, in spite of what these undertake to do, than it has been demonstrated that there are any eternal truths. But perhaps such skeptics have been more frequent than one would innocently like to have true when one tries to bowl over skepticism by formal dialectics. Thus, with the question of the being of truth and the necessity of presupposing it, just as with the question of the essence of knowledge, an ideal subject has generally been posited. The motive for this, whether explicit or tacit, lies in the requirement that philosophy should have the a priori as its theme, rather than empirical facts as such. There is some justification for this requirement, though it still needs to be grounded ontologically. Yet is this requirement satisfied by positing an ideal subject? Is not such a subject a fanciful idealization? With such a conception, have we not missed precisely the a priori character of that merely factual subject, Dasein? Is it not an attribute of the a priori character of the factical subject, that is, an attribute of Dasein's facticity, that it is in the truth and in untruth equi primordially? The ideas of a pure I, and of a consciousness in general, are so far from including the a priori character of actual subjectivity that the ontological characters of Dasein's facticity and its state of being are either passed over or not seen at all. Rejection of a consciousness in general does not signify that the a priori is negated, any more than the positing of an idealized subject guarantees that Dasein has an a priori character grounded upon fact. Both the contention that there are eternal truths and the jumbling together of Dasein's phenomenally grounded ideality with an idealized absolute subject belong to those residues of Christian theology within philosophical problematics which have not as yet been radically extruded. The being of truth is connected primordially with Dasein, and only because Dasein is as constituted by discloseness, that is, by understanding, can anything like being be understood. Only so is it possible to understand being. Being, not entities, is something which there is only so far as truth is, and truth is only insofar as and as long as Dasein is. Being and truth are equiprimordially. What does it signify that being is, where being is to be distinguished from every entity? One can ask this concretely only if the meaning of being and the full scope of the understanding of being have in general been clarified. Only then can one also analyze primordially what belongs to the concept of a science of being as such, and to its possibilities and its variations. And in demarcating this research and its truth, the kind of research in which entities are uncovered and its accompanying truth must be defined ontologically. The answer to the question of the meaning of being has yet to be given, steht aus. What has our fundamental analysis of Dasein, as we have carried it out so far, contributed to working out this question? By laying bare the phenomenon of care, we have clarified the state of being of that entity to whose being something like an understanding of being belongs. At the same time, the being of Dasein has thus been distinguished from modes of being, readiness to hand, presence at hand, reality, which characterize entities with a character other than that of Dasein. Understanding has itself been elucidated. And at the same time, the methodological transparency of the procedure of interpreting being by understanding it and interpreting it, has thus been guaranteed. If in care we have arrived at Dasein's primordial state of being, then this must also be the basis for conceptualizing that understanding of being which lies in care. That is to say, it must be possible to define the meaning of being. But is the phenomenon of care one in which the most primordial existential ontological state of Dasein is disclosed? And has the structural manifoldness which lies in this phenomenon presented us with the most primordial totality of factical Dasein's being? Has our investigation up to this point ever brought Dasein into view as a whole? Division 2. Dasein and Temporality. Section 45. The outcome of the preparatory fundamental analysis of Dasein and the task of a primordial existential interpretation of this entity. What have we gained by our preparatory analysis of Dasein, and what are we seeking? In being in the world, whose essential structures center in disclosedness, we have found the basic state of the entity we have taken as our theme. The totality of being in the world as a structural whole has revealed itself as care. In care, the being of Dasein is included. When we came to analyze this being, we took as our clue existence, which, in anticipation, we had designated as the essence of Dasein. This term existence formally indicates that Dasein is, as an understanding, potentiality for being, which in its being makes an issue of that being itself. In every case, I myself am the entity which is in such a manner, der Gestalt seiend. By working out the phenomenon of care, we have given ourselves an insight into the concrete constitution of existence, that is, an insight into its equiprimordial connection with Dasein's facticity and its falling. What we are seeking is the answer to the question about the meaning of being in general, and prior to that, the possibility of working out in a radical manner, this basic question of all ontology. But to lay bare the horizon within which something like being in general becomes intelligible is tantamount to clarifying the possibility of having any understanding of being at all, an understanding which itself belongs to the constitution of the entity called Dasein. The understanding of being, however, cannot be radically clarified as an essential element in Dasein's being unless the entity to whose being it belongs has been interpreted primordially in itself with regard to its being. Are we entitled to the claim that in characterizing Dasein ontologically qua care, we have given a primordial interpretation of this entity? By what criterion is the existential analytic of Dasein to be assessed as regards its primordiality or the lack of it? What indeed do we mean by the primordiality of an ontological interpretation? Ontological investigation is a possible kind of interpreting, which we have described as the working out and appropriation of an understanding. Every interpretation has its forehaving, its foresight, and its foreconception. If such an interpretation as interpretation becomes an explicit task for research, then the totality of these presuppositions, which we call the hermeneutical situation, needs to be clarified and made secure beforehand, both in a basic experience of the object to be disclosed and in terms of such an experience. In ontological interpretation, an entity is to be laid bare with regard to its own state of being. Such an interpretation obliges us first to give a phenomenal characterization of the entity we have taken as our theme, and thus to bring it into the scope of our forehaving, with which all the subsequent steps of our analysis are to conform. But at the same time, these steps need to be guided by whatever foresight is possible as to the kind of being which the entity may possess. Our forehaving and our foresight will then give us at the same time a sketch of that way of conceiving, or foreconception, to the level of which all structures of being are to be raised. If, however, the ontological interpretation is to be a primordial one, this not only demands that in general the hermeneutical situation shall be one which has been made secure in conformity with the phenomena, it also requires explicit assurance that the whole of the entity, which it has taken as its theme, has been brought into the forehaving. Similarly, it is not enough just to make a first sketch of the being of this entity, even if our sketch is grounded in the phenomena. If we are to have a foresight of being, we must see it in such a way as not to miss the unity of those structural items which belong to it and are possible. Only then can the question of the meaning of the unity which belongs to the whole entity's totality of being be formulated and answered with any phenomenal assurance. Has the existential analysis of Dasein, which we have carried out, arisen from such a hermeneutical situation as will guarantee the primordiality which fundamental ontology demands? Can we progress from the result we have obtained, that the being of Dasein is care, to the question of the primordial unity of this structural whole? What is the status of the foresight by which our ontological procedure has hitherto been guided? We have defined the idea of existence as a potentiality for being, a potentiality which understands and for which its own being is an issue. But this potentiality for being, as one which is in each case mine, is free either for authenticity or for inauthenticity, or for a mode in which neither of these has been differentiated. In starting with average everydayness, our interpretation has heretofore been confined to the analysis of such existing as is either undifferentiated or inauthentic. Of course, even along this path it was possible and indeed necessary to reach a concrete determination of the existentiality of existence. Nevertheless, our ontological characterization of the constitution of existence still lacked something essential. Existence means a potentiality for being, but also one which is authentic. As long as the existential structure of an authentic potentiality for being has not been brought into the idea of existence, the foresight by which an existential interpretation is guided will lack primordiality. And how about what we have in advance in our hermeneutical situation hitherto? How about its forehaving? When and how has our existential analysis received any assurance that, by starting with everydayness, it has forced the whole of Dasein, this entity from its beginning to its end, into the phenomenological view which gives us our theme? We have indeed contended that care is the totality of the structural whole of Dasein's constitution. But have we not, at the very outset of our interpretation, renounced the possibility of bringing Dasein into view as a whole? Everydayness is precisely that being which is between birth and death. And if existence is definitive for Dasein's being, and if its essence is constituted, in part, by potentiality for being, then as long as Dasein exists, it must in each case, as such a potentiality, not yet be something. Any entity whose essence is made up of existence is essentially opposed to the possibility of our getting it in our grasp as an entity which is a whole. Not only has the hermeneutical situation hitherto given us no assurance of having the whole entity, one may even question whether having the whole entity is attainable at all, and whether a primordial ontological interpretation of Dasein will not founder on the kind of being which belongs to the very entity we have taken as our theme. One thing has become unmistakable. Our existential analysis of Dasein up till now cannot lay claim to primordiality. Its forehaving never included more than the inauthentic being of Dasein, and of Dasein as less than a whole, als Unganzes. If the interpretation of Dasein's being is to become primordial as a foundation for working out the basic question of ontology, then it must first have brought to light existentially the being of Dasein in its possibilities of authenticity and totality. Thus arises the task of putting Dasein as a whole into our forehaving. This signifies, however, that we must first of all raise the question of this entity's potentiality for being a whole. As long as Dasein is, there is in every case something still outstanding, which Dasein can be and will be. But to that which is thus outstanding, the end itself belongs. The end of being in the world is death. This end, which belongs to the potentiality for being, that is to say to existence, limits and determines, in every case, whatever totality is possible for Dasein. If, however, Dasein's being at an end in death, and therewith its being a whole, are to be included in the discussion of its possibly being a whole, and if this is to be done in a way which is appropriate to the phenomena, then we must have obtained an ontologically adequate conception of death, that is to say, an existential conception of it. But as something of the character of Dasein, death is only in an existentiell being towards death, Sein zum Tode. The existential structure of such being proves to be the ontologically constitutive state of Dasein's potentiality for being a whole. Thus the whole existing Dasein allows itself to be brought into our existential forehaving. But can Dasein also exist authentically as a whole? How is the authenticity of existence to be determined at all, if not with regard to authentic existing? Where do we get our criterion for this? Manifestly, Dasein itself must, in its being, present us with the possibility and the manner of its authentic existence, unless such existence is something that can be imposed upon it ontically or ontologically fabricated. But an authentic potentiality for being is attested by the conscience. And conscience, as a phenomenon of Dasein, demands, like death, a genuinely existential interpretation. Such an interpretation leads to the insight that Dasein has an authentic potentiality for being in that it wants to have a conscience. But this is an existentiell possibility which tends, from the very meaning of its being, to be made definite in an existentiell way by being towards death. By pointing out that Dasein has an authentic potentiality for being a whole, The existential analytic acquires assurance as to the constitution of Dasein's primordial being. But at the same time, the authentic potentiality for being a whole becomes visible as a mode of care, and therewith the phenomenally adequate ground for a primordial interpretation of the meaning of Dasein's being has also been assured. But the primordial ontological basis for Dasein's existentiality is temporality. In terms of temporality, the articulated structural totality of Dasein's being as care first becomes existentially intelligible. The interpretation of the meaning of Dasein's being cannot stop with this demonstration. The existential temporal analysis of this entity needs to be confirmed concretely. We must go back and lay bare in their temporal meaning the ontological structures of Dasein, which we have previously obtained. Everydayness reveals itself as a mode of temporality. But by thus recapitulating our preparatory fundamental analysis of Dasein, we will at the same time make the phenomenon of temporality itself more transparent. In terms of temporality, it then becomes intelligible why Dasein is, and can be, historical in the basis of its being, and why, as historical, it can develop historiology. If temporality makes up the primordial meaning of Dasein's being, and if, moreover, this entity is one for which, in its being, this very being is an issue, then care must use time, and therefore must reckon with time. Time reckoning is developed by Dasein's temporality. The time, which is experienced in such reckoning, is that phenomenal aspect of temporality which is closest to us. Out of it arises the ordinary, everyday understanding of time. And this understanding evolves into the traditional conception of time. By casting light on the source of the time in which entities within the world are encountered, time as within-timeness, we shall make manifest an essential possibility of the temporalizing of temporality. Therewith, the understanding prepares itself for an even more primordial temporalizing of temporality. In this is grounded that understanding of being which is constitutive for the being of Dasein. Within the horizon of time, the projection of a meaning of being in general can be accomplished. Thus, the investigation comprised in the division which lies before us will now traverse the following stages. Dasein's possibility of being a whole and being towards death, Chapter 1. Dasein's attestation of an authentic potentiality for being and resoluteness, Chapter 2. Dasein's authentic potentiality for being a whole and temporality as the ontological meaning of care, Chapter 3. Temporality and everydayness, Chapter 4. Temporality and historicality, Chapter 5. Temporality and within-timeness as the source of the ordinary conception of time, Chapter 6. Division 2, Chapter 1. Dasein's possibility of being a whole and being towards death. Section 46. The seeming impossibility of getting Dasein's being a whole into our grasp, ontologically and determining its character. The inadequacy of the hermeneutical situation from which the preceding analysis of Dasein has arisen must be surmounted. It is necessary for us to bring the whole Dasein into our forehaving. We must accordingly ask whether this entity as something existing can ever become accessible in its being a whole. In Dasein's very state of being, there are important reasons which seem to speak against the possibility of having it presented Vorgabe in the manner required. The possibility of this entity's being a whole is manifestly inconsistent with the ontological meaning of care, and care is that which forms the totality of Dasein's structural whole. Yet the primary item in care is the ahead of itself, and this means that in every case Dasein exists for the sake of itself. As long as it is, right to its end, it comports itself towards its potentiality for being. Even when it still exists but has nothing more before it and has settled, abgeschlossen its account, its being is still determined by the ahead of itself. Hopelessness, for instance, does not tear Dasein away from its possibilities, but is only one of its own modes of being towards these possibilities. Even when one is without illusions and is ready for anything, gefasst sein auf alles, here too the ahead of itself lies hidden. The ahead of itself, as an item in the structure of care, tells us unambiguously that in Dasein there is always something still outstanding, which, as a potentiality for being for Dasein itself, has not yet become actual. It is essential to the basic constitution of Dasein that there is constantly something still to be settled, eine ständige Unabgeschlossenheit. Such a lack of totality signifies that there is something still outstanding in one's potentiality for being. But as soon as Dasein exists in such a way that absolutely nothing more is still outstanding in it, then it has already for this very reason become no longer being there, nicht mehr Dasein. Its being is annihilated when what is still outstanding in its being has been liquidated. As long as Dasein is, as an entity, it has never reached its wholeness. But if it gains such wholeness, this gain becomes the utter loss of being in the world. In such a case, it can never again be experienced as an entity. The reason for the impossibility of experiencing Dasein ontically as a whole, which is, als Sein des Ganzes, and therefore of determining its character ontologically in its being a whole, does not lie in any imperfection of our cognitive powers. The hindrance lies rather in the being of this entity. That which cannot ever be, such as any experience which pretends to get Dasein in its grasp would claim, eludes in principle any possibility of getting experienced at all. But in that case, is it not a hopeless undertaking to try to discern in Dasein its ontological totality of being? We cannot cross out the ahead of itself as an essential item in the structure of care. But how sound are the conclusions which we have drawn from this? Has not the impossibility of getting the whole of Dasein into our grasp been inferred by an argument which is merely formal? Or have we not at bottom inadvertently posited that Dasein is something present at hand, ahead of which something that is not yet present at hand is constantly shoving itself? Have we, in our argument, taken being not yet and the ahead in a sense that is genuinely existential? Has our talk of the end and totality been phenomenally appropriate to Dasein? Has the expression death had a biological signification or one that is existential, ontological? Or indeed any signification that has been adequately and surely delimited? Have we indeed exhausted all the possibilities for making Dasein accessible in its wholeness? We must answer these questions before the problem of Dasein's totality can be dismissed as nugatory, nichtiges. This question, both the existentiell question of whether a potentiality for being a whole is possible, and the existential question of the state of being of end and totality, is one in which there lurks the task of giving a positive analysis for some phenomena of existence which, up till now, have been left aside. In the centre of these considerations, we have the task of characterising ontologically Dasein's being at an end and of achieving an existential conception of death. The investigations relating to these topics are divided up as follows: the possibility of experiencing the death of others and the possibility of getting a whole Dasein into our grasp, section 47, that which is still outstanding, the end and totality, section 48, how the existential analysis of death is distinguished from other possible interpretations of this phenomenon, section 49, a preliminary sketch of the existential ontological structure of death, section 50, being towards death and the everydayness of Dasein, section 51, everyday being towards death and the full existential conception of death, section 52, an existential projection of an authentic being towards death, section 53. Section 47. The possibility of experiencing the death of others and the possibility of getting a whole Dasein into our grasp. When Dasein reaches its wholeness in death, it simultaneously loses the being of its there. By its transition to no longer Dasein, nicht mehr Dasein, it gets lifted right out of the possibility of experiencing this transition and of understanding it as something experienced. Surely this sort of thing is denied to any particular Dasein in relation to itself. But this